Today we're going to begin a new series entitled The Great Gift Exchange. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter number 6, we'll be there in just a few moments. The holidays can mean a lot of things for each of us. It's a time of gift giving, a time of overeating, a time of goodwill and cheer, of reunions and celebrations. Did I mention it's a time of gift giving and overeating? I love it. Holidays a lot of times bring joyful moments, but they can also be trying moments for others. This time of year can bring on the blues. It can trigger feelings of loneliness and depression or even anxiety. A lot of emotions, or those emotions are normal, I think, a lot of times. They're understandable. You may be missing a loved one. Maybe you're coping with health issues. Possibly you're worrying about financial matters. Maybe you're just looking at day-to-day things, your daily living. Well, the message is for the next 3 weeks, you're going to address issues that we deal with, especially this time of year. There are certain things that are on our mind this time of year. And we're going to look at some of those things in our series entitled The Great Gift Exchange. Now, this is a little bit different kind of gift exchange than what you may think of when you hear have the idea of exchanging gifts. Now, last night we had a party here at church. And they played a game, some folks call it Dirty Santa, and, you know, they exchange gifts with that. Now, we saw a lot of folks last night that are good Christian people, that are kind and compassionate individuals. But when you start playing Dirty Santa, everything goes out the door, okay? Things can get nasty rather fast. I'm not calling names, ladies, you know. I heard stories, and the finger-pointing begins. Well, that's not the kind of gift exchange we're talking about this morning. Anyway, we're going to look at some things that we need to give to God, and when we do that, God will give some things back to us in return. It's on your outline there. Today, when I give God my worry, He gives me His peace. That's our topic for this morning. Next Sunday morning is the children's play, and I hope you'll be here for that. It's going to be a great, great day next Sunday morning. But after the play, I do plan on bringing just a short message, and we're going to be talking about next Sunday, when we give God our hurts, He will give us His healing. And then 2 weeks from today, actually Christmas Sunday for us, I guess, we'll be talking about we give God our grief and He gives us His joy. When it comes to the Christmas season, those three things in particular, worry and pain and grief, they become amplified, I think, at the Christmas time. It's like the holidays just kind of throw a magnifying glass on these things, and we're wrestling with them. And it becomes especially a struggle because this time of year when we're watching Hallmark movies 24/7, okay, and everything goes so perfect in those Hallmark movies, and everything works out just right, but we're wondering, why doesn't that happen in my life? And so I think it's good to address these topics. Now, I read something recently where it talked about the stress of the holidays, and it said it's time to trade my normal stressed out look for the Christmas stressed out look. I think Tim's got a picture for us there. I think that describes a lot of us. It just gets kind of wild. It kind of gets kind of busy this time of year. I wonder how many of you feel like December is busier than any time of the year. Let me see your hand. Yeah, most of us do. It just gets crazy hectic. And as you go through this time of the year, everything gets a little bit more crazier. It gets a little more hectic. We get busier. There's all kinds of things to worry about. Maybe you're thinking about your finances. Maybe you're coming up to the end of the year, and how in the world are we going to pay all of the bills this time of the year? Maybe it's the family get-togethers. And sometimes that can cause stress on relationships when we do that. Maybe as a student, our college students that are here this morning, maybe even as the other kids that are young people in school this morning, you're looking at the finals coming up, and that creates extra stress. Maybe on your job, there's an end-of-year project you're dealing with, and it causes more stress. It causes you to worry. There's just a lot of things this time of year as we get into the Christmas season that causes stress, that causes us to worry. And so today we're going to be looking at what did Jesus have to say about worry. Now, let me make a couple of clarifications. On your outline, I believe there, first of all, I want you to understand there's a difference between being worried about something and being cautious. See, we should be cautious of dangerous situations, okay? But there's a difference between worrying and having wisdom. See, being conservative in your decision-making, I think it talks about, means you don't need to worry. It just means you're wise, okay? I'm just being cautious about these. So when we talk about worry, that's not what we're talking about. A second clarification on your outline, we're not talking about just anxiety, okay, that's caused by trauma or maybe a chemical imbalance of some kind. We're not talking about if the doctor says that you're struggling with anxiety. I do not think you should feel guilty and have a sense of guilt because you're struggling with something that's caused because of a physical issue or maybe some type of trauma in your past. But what we're talking about worry is the worry in the sense that Adrian Rogers, a great preacher of years gone by, he used to say, he described it this way. He says, it's dragging tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Good way to look at it. Dragging tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. That's worry. Looking at what might happen, what might go wrong. On your outline, it talks about dwelling on the potentially negative outcomes that are beyond your control. Now, worrying doesn't fix any of those things. It doesn't prevent any of those things. It doesn't take care of any of those things. But, you know, a lot of times we think, if I'll just worry about this, then I'm doing something about this potential problem that hasn't happened yet. And that's just going to help it. Well, it does not help it, okay? So how do we get past that type of worry? Jesus has just finished the model prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, and he's been talking about prayer. And in Matthew chapter number 6, he goes then right on in to this discussion of worry. And I think it's a great timing on it. Let me read it for you. You can follow along in your Bible if you have them, or you can follow along on the screen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life. Now I like the NIV there. It says, don't worry. It says, just don't worry. Take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take not thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I just love the practicality of Jesus' words. Sometimes, you know, as Christians, we separate our theology and the way we live, and we don't begin to connect our actions with our belief. And Jesus makes a good practical point for us here that brings it all back into focus. He says, what you learn about God and what you believe about God and what you trust about the character of God literally should have an effect on how you live and how you think every day. Now, you remember our series a couple of months ago on faith, hope, and charity? Or that was just a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Faith, hope, and charity. He said that our love, the way we react to things in life, is based on our hope, okay, in any situation. And our hope, our ability to hope, even in the most desperate situation, is based on our faith in God and our faith and our belief about God. If we believe that God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, if we believe that God is everywhere and all-knowing and all-powerful, then He knows what I'm going through. He's there with me, and He has the power to change the situation. Okay? Our theology should impact our daily life. Our level of worry is connected to what we believe about God in this moment. Okay? The boss says you have to finish this project by this deadline. Understand, our worry, our level of worry is connected to what we believe about God in this moment. If I've learned to trust that God is my provider, He's my protector, He's my healer, He's my defender, then I'm not going to be about near as worried about the situations in life when they come up. I should react different. I should not be overwhelmed by fear. I can keep calm when others are falling apart because I'm trusting and believing in this moment that God is God. Jesus said some things about worry that are really important for us to understand. And it's on your outline. He said worry is unnatural. And He points to the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and He said, they don't worry. You don't see the animals stressing out. You don't see the flowers stressing out because winter is coming. Winter's always coming. And now Jesus is not saying that we should never prepare for anything. Jesus in His teaching would always reiterate what the Word of God says. And we know that Scripture says in Proverbs we're to go to the ant and consider the ant and how we're to lay up in the summer for when the winter months is coming. Jesus is not saying that you go through life aimlessly without any direction and you make no preparations. But what He is saying when it comes to our provisions, when it comes to your daily living, when it comes to thinking about how am I going to get by, don't worry about it, okay? Spend your time instead building your faith and trusting God to provide. Worry is unnatural. Just look at the animals. Look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Number two, it's on your outline. Worry is unhelpful. Worry doesn't change anything about our lives. Worry will not add a single day to your life. Do you think it'll do you any good if tomorrow you're sitting there thinking about all that you've got to do and you say, I'm just worried to death. I don't have enough time to accomplish everything. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, bam, you've got an extra hour in your life. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that worry is not going to change anything, okay? It's unhelpful. You don't get more money by saying, oh, I'm worried about I don't have enough money to pay the bills. Bam! All of a sudden my bank account's full. It doesn't happen that way. Worry is unhelpful. And then Jesus goes right into that and He goes right for the gut. And it's on your outline, number three. He says, worry is unchristian. Wow, I could spend the rest of the day here. When we worry, it's saying my faith in God is pretty little slim, and I don't have much faith. So the question is, and it's on the bottom of the outline on the first page then, is how do I give my worry to God so He can give me His peace? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because my whole outline from here is based on that question, okay? Thank you for asking that question. On the back of the outline, I'm going to give you three simple things that you do to give your worry to God. And if this is you this morning, if you're worried about things this morning, I hope you'll listen and take this to heart this morning. Now, if you're wrestling with, what do I do about this or that in my life? Now, I know there's probably only two, maybe three of you that are worrying today, okay? The rest of you are just going to have to tolerate. No, let's be honest. Almost every one of us worry at one time or another. So how do I deal with it? Well, it's on your outline. Number one, Just let Jesus be king. In other words, when you wake up every morning, just to remind yourself, Jesus is still king. He's still on the throne, okay? You know what? Bam, all of a sudden I got a flashback. This is taking me back to, what was it, in September? When we talked about putting on the whole armor of God? And see, this message is just reinforcing the message we had back then. Did you know that's why it's important that you are here every Sunday, if all possible? And if you miss on a Sunday, you know, Tim does a great job of posting our sermons online. We are building a process here week after week after week, trying to help you in your Christian life. But this sermon is just literally, let Jesus be king. It's just reinforcing that putting on the whole armor of God. See, when worry comes into our mind, the first thing you think of when you wake up of a morning, whoo, I got this to do and this and that and this and this, and you start worrying about it, you need to take control of your mind and say, hello mind, hello body, Jesus is still king today. He's still in charge, he's still got things, he's still sovereign over everything, he's the one that runs this kingdom, he's the one that takes care of his family, and by the way, he adopted me into his family. I'm part of his family. He takes care of me. And just in case any of you are wondering, I read the end of the book and he wins. But you know what's better than that? Because I'm part of his family, I win in the end, but I can also learn to apply biblical principles and I can win today in my daily life. So learn to just let Jesus be king. At the end of the passage, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means we're to let Jesus be king of our life and all that we do. I'm giving him the keys to my life, everything about me. I'm letting him have say over who I am and what I do. Jesus is king. So what does that have to do with worry? Well, it's a matter of what occupies the first thought in my mind in any given situation. What is my default mode? What is my go-to mode when a problem comes up? It's on your outline. What deserves to be first place in my thought life? Hint is Jesus. The first thought when things go bad, most of the time we think, boy, what am I going to do to fix this? Our first thought ought to be, you know what? This is a bad situation, but Jesus is still king. I'm just going to put him first today in everything I do and everything I see. I'm going to have let Jesus have the perfect preeminence, the perfect prominence in all of my life, in my thought life. It's where it starts. It usually doesn't happen by accident. Our default is to worry about things. Because if I can worry about it, then I can probably fix it. My default is to panic, first of all, and maybe that'll help fix it. But instead, if I'll just fix my thoughts on Jesus and just decide, you know what? I made a decision to follow Him, and I don't always understand everything. I don't always understand everything about our relationship and how He takes care of everything. But you know what? In this moment, right now, in this moment, I'm taking my theology and applying it to my life. In this moment, I'm going to remind myself that my thoughts must be fixed on Jesus. I'm just going to think about it. Jesus is king. That's the way it is. I have to let Him be king because I have a tendency, when things go south, I like to push Jesus off the throne. Okay, I got a problem. I'm going to have to fix this. You may not realize it, but sometimes your preacher can be a control freak. He can be a control... And before you judge me, you're the same way. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? Will you get ready to go home today? You let your spouse drive. And as soon as your spouse starts driving... Oh, did I get too close to home? Your spouse starts driving. Oh, slow down. Hold, be careful. Don't get so. Don't ride near bumper. Hey, look out. Oh, turn here. Boy, you better put slow down. Do this, do that. And you're telling you, I mean, you want to be a control freak. As long as you're driving, everything's fine. The flow of traffic is good. But you let your spouse drive, You are a control freak. You're over there on that other side. Look out, do this, do that, put your blinker, do that. And you're grabbing that handle up there. You're stomping that floor trying to slow them down. You are a control freak. Listen to me. When things go wrong, we want the controls. I feel like I want to do something about this. Like I can rearrange things and fix it. But the reality is, I'm just going to pile more stuff on and worry more about it, and it's not going to do anything. All I'm going to do is multiply my anxiety until I shift over to the side and say, okay, Jesus, I'm sorry, that's wrong. You take the wheel. You take control. I'm going to obey you. I know you're king. I'm going to trust you. Let me step out of the way and just let you be king. It'll save you a lot of worry. Second thing we need to do to give our worry to God is, it's on your outline. Jesus says that we're to live just one day at a time. Just remind yourself that all I need to do is to live for today. Quit worrying about all these other problems. I can't fix all the problems of tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I go through spelled seasons. I like to catch up on the news. Now, I think we ought to be informed of what's going on in the world. But if I'm not careful, I get online and I'll read this news story, and then it'll have another news story that backs that up, and then it'll go from that news story to... You get to get into what's going on in politics right now, and you start following this trail all through there. All of a sudden, I don't know about you, but I get the feeling like... Everything's falling apart in our community, in our state, in our nation, in the world. And it's just all come crumbling down. And boy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything's just absolutely falling apart. I start worrying about things. I think it's just an utter breakdown all around me. If you ever feel that way when you're watching the news, let me give you a little hint, okay? Turn the news off. Just turn it off. You need to get back to a more eternal perspective, one that says, you know what? Jesus is still king. God still got this. He's given me assignment, what I need to do today, and I'm just going to focus on what I need to do today, and everything's going to work out okay. It's all going to be in His will, okay? My worry's not going to help anything about it. You'll be a lot more productive in life. One of my favorite stories about productivity comes from, and getting things done, comes from a guy by the name of George Whitefield. Now, he was a preacher that lived several years ago, and a preacher from England. He came over to the United States. He was known to be a very eloquent, one of the most eloquent speakers in history. He was a circuit-riding preacher, and he preached thousands and thousands of times across this country. He'd preach in houses and homes. He'd preach in churches. They'd have rush hour meetings. They'd have outdoor meetings. He preached every place he could. He had one of the most crazy, hectic schedules you could think of. And one day somebody asked him, said, Mr. Whitefield, what would you do today if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow? And Whitefield just opened up his old black jacket and he reached inside and he pulled out this little calendar, his pocket calendar kind of like he had, that told him what he was supposed to be doing today. And he said, if I knew Jesus is coming tomorrow, this is exactly what I'd do today. And I thought, wow, you know, I'd like to live that way. It doesn't necessarily mean that every day I'm doing something monumental, something, some magnificent thing. It just means if Jesus was coming tomorrow, and I knew it, I'd just be busy doing today what God called me to do. I'd just be fulfilling God's plan for my life for the moment, for right now. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. No, I've got some plans. I've got some 30-day plans, 90-day plans. We, as a church, our staff has, well, a lot of times we look at a 1-year plan, 3-year plan, 5-year plan. Maybe you've got some plans in your life, and those things are good. Maybe you're looking at some type of a financial budget. Maybe you say, listen, I'm struggling with some things, and I'm getting counseling. It's good to do those things. But you know what? When it comes to worrying about tomorrow and next month and next year, it doesn't do any good to worry about it. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just get through the moment today. Don't worry about tomorrow, because He says tomorrow brings enough worries of its own. When all I do is think about what could go wrong, I become very negative. And I start thinking about all the problems. I get negative in what I will start telling you about your life and how I look at my life. I get very negative. But if I'll trust in Christ, overall the probability is actually pretty positive in Christ. So how do I give my worry to Jesus? Number one, let Him be king. Number two, live one day at a time. Number three, learn to lean on the faithfulness of God. That's where I'm just being, I know He's faithful. That's the reason I can let Him be king. That's the reason I'm living one day at a time. Jesus said, I don't want you to worry about these things that haven't happened yet. I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. I just want you to do God's will today. And those words are coming from somebody we can trust. Jesus and
in my 65 years, Jesus never led me astray. Did you know that? Jesus has never once broken a promise to me.
I remember when our family moved down to Houston, Texas. Jeffrey was 3 years old. Leslie was 5 years old. And we used to love to go to the beach down on Galveston Island. And we'd go down to Galveston. For the first time we went down there, and the kids were little, you know, they were young, and they didn't know what to think about all that water and all them waves coming in. And Leslie got a little afraid of all those waves, okay? And so I launched into this very dynamic spiritual talk with her. And I said, come here, baby girl. I want you to know that God has set boundaries on the sea, and He's determined that those waves only come so far. And you see those waves coming up, and then they stop, and then they go back out. Baby, I just want you to know God is never going to let those waves come get you. And I just explained that to her, and she felt a little bit of comfort from that. And I thought I did very good. And so I left Connie and the kids sitting on the beach towels there on the sand. And I went out a little bit further towards the waves as they were coming in. And in just a minute, I saw this bigger wave coming. Now, Connie and them were probably 30 feet from where the waves had been going. And this big wave's come in, and it hit me, and I turn around and look, and it goes about halfway up to where they are on the beach. And I thought, whoa, that was a big wave. And then I turn around and look. There is an even bigger wave coming. And I'm thinking, oh no. I start running as fast as I can in that sand. You ain't never seen nothing like a fat man running across the beach, okay? I'm trying to get back up here where my wife and them babies are sitting there on them towels. I got there just as that wave hit. Whoosh, right up on those towels where they'd been sitting. Connie had jumped up, grabbed Jeffrey, lifted him up, and I looked for Leslie. Now, Leslie, the seawall, Galveston has a seawall there. Leslie had run another 30 foot back as far as she could at that seawall, okay? And she's standing there, a little 5-year-old girl with her hands on her hips, giving me this look. You lied to me. I told her she was safe, and that water nearly got her. It took a long time for me to regain her trust about things. Listen to me. God told me He's my protector, my provider, my defender, my healer, my teacher, my advocate. He intercedes for me. He's watching over me. I can believe those things because God has never, in all of the history of mankind, God has never been unfaithful. God has never lied. God has never broken His promise to me. Let me give you just another verse and we'll be done, okay? I think it's on your outline there, Philippians 4:6. I love it. We're familiar with it in the King James. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. But I also love the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry. Be happy. No, that's not it. It said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Don't worry about anything. Okay, preacher, I got it. Don't worry. Well, that sounds simple, but instead, there's more to it. Don't worry, okay? But instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. There are two parts to leaning on the faithfulness of God, and it's on your outline. Don't worry, but start praying. Tell God about it. What is it that you're worried about? Stop thinking negative thoughts and start thinking God-centered thoughts, God-directed thoughts. Don't worry about everything. Instead, pray about everything. On your outline number two, it says, tell God what you need and then thank Him for what He's done. Now listen to me. I don't tell God what I need because He doesn't know. God already knows. But when I tell God what I need, I'm articulating what I'm trusting Him for. God, I need this, and I'm just trusting You to do this for me. I thank Him for what He's done, and then I remind myself what He's done for me. And I'm literally worshiping God for how He's come through in the past, and now I'm learning to lean on the faithfulness of God. Prayer becomes the answer to all of the gratitude that I feel in my heart. It refocuses my attention on God's goodness and His gifts. But are you ready for this? I'm giving God my worry. Now here comes the gift exchange. That's what we've been getting ready for all morning, okay? Here comes the gift exchange in the very next verse, Philippians 4:7. When I talk to God, when I thank Him for what He's done, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When I tell God, when I talk to Him and I articulate what I'm trusting Him for, I'm reminding myself He's been faithful to me in the past. In the New Living Translation, then you will experience God's peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the gift exchange. I give Him my worry, and He gives me His peace. I open up and give God my worry. I pray to Him. I thank Him what He's done so far. I trust Him with my problems in life. In return, He gives me His divine peace, which is impossible for humans to even understand. A peace that doesn't make sense. It surpasses all understanding. By the world's standards, we ought to be in a state of panic. But I'm okay. Because I can trust God with this. I give Him my worry. God, this is what I'm stressed out with. And God says, okay, it'll be all right. I'm King. Just live for today. Everything be cool. Just lean into Me, okay? Trust My faithfulness. Now, He doesn't say don't worry in a kind of frivolous sense of forget about everything. He just says don't get caught up too much in all the things you're worrying about. He's not saying shirk your responsibilities. He's just saying don't let them get too heavy for your heart. Just come talk to Me about it. Lord, You know it's Christmas time and the budget stretched a little thin. And God, I'm worried about this. Let's just tell Him about it. God, I'm struggling with this relationship with this person at work, and I don't talk to him about the relationship. God, help me to love my spouse. Help me to show them better that I love them. God, there's just so much stress on me right now at work, and I'm putting in all these extra hours and all these projects are due. God said, just come talk to me about it. And when I'm stressed about these things and worried about these things, and I take them to God and share them with Him, God says, come here. Let me put my arm around you. Let's exchange gifts. You give me your worry, I'm going to give you some peace.
That's the way it happens. Savannah, come. We're about ready to close. Let me give you one more illustration. Maybe help you see this. Connie mentioned in Life Group this story about when the disciples were in the boat. Jesus had been teaching all day, and He puts them in the boat and He sends them out across the sea there. He goes into the mountain to pray. And then in the middle of the night, Jesus comes walking on the water towards them. We talked about this recently. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And Peter is fascinated with this. Look what Jesus is doing. He's walking on the water. Jesus said, Peter, come here with me. Walk out. You want to walk on the water? Come out and walk on the water with me. Peter said, woohoo! He jumps out of the boat and he starts walking on that water. And he does it for a couple of steps. Then what happens? Peter starts to sink. What happened when Peter started to sink? Jesus reaches out and gives him his hand and says, oh, ye of a little faith. And he lifts him back up. Now, the way you look at that story probably would define for you how you handle worry and how you see God. Okay? Jesus reaches out and says, oh, ye of little faith. Now, you think Jesus is talking to Peter, okay? But in the Greek there, the way it's phrased, ye, oh, ye of little faith, is plural. That's a pretty neat thing. Jesus isn't talking to Peter, just, Peter, you of little faith. Jesus said to all the disciples in the boat, oh, ye of little faith. Are you getting this? Jesus is saying, y'all, hey, y'all, all y'all of little faith, all you-ins. Jesus said, hey, you guys, all of y'all, little faith. What he's saying to them, you guys need to learn to trust me some more. And the way you read that is probably the way you frame your life. Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter gets up. Come here, Peter. Peter gets up and starts walking on the water. And all of a sudden, Peter starts to sink. Okay? And Jesus reaches over and says, you guys, hey, you guys, oh, you have a little faith, okay? Now, some of you think Jesus is looking at Peter and saying, oh, yeah, little faith, what's wrong with you? You need to get better. You think God, Jesus is just lambasting him. That's not it. If you know the customs of the times and you know the language of the time, Jesus is chuckling. He's laughing. You guys, come here. Come here, buddy. Man, you need some more faith. What's wrong with you guys? Let me help you here. And that's the way God's looking at you. God, I can't take the stress anymore. God's not looking at you and saying, oh, ye of little faith, what's wrong with you? He said, come here, come here. Come up in my lap. Let me hug you. Let me love on you. You know, let's exchange gifts. You give me your worry, I'm going to give you my peace. And that's what it's all about. I don't know about you, but I want to grow in my life where I get to the point when I struggle, I can say, God, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to make you king. I'm just going to live today, but just worry about today, take care of today, do what you told me today. And I'm going to lean into your faith. That's what it's all about. We can learn a dynamic principle, here, a coping mechanism. Instead of trying to worry about it, I'm just going to trust God. It's on your outline and it closes there. When you let Jesus be king and when you live one day at a time, when you lean into God's faithfulness, He'll guard your heart and your mind with His peace. I love the Christmas tree. I love the gifts under it. What are you worried about today? Job? Work? Finances? Family? Situations? School? Finals? What are you stressed out about? Won't you come exchange gifts with Him this morning? Give Him your worry. Trust Him to give you His peace. Let's stand, if you will. Father, come your prayer.